ladies and gentlemen, you don't know this, but this is take two because we've just been waffling for 5 minutes and I forgot to press record.
That is the best first 5 minutes, genuinely, the best first 5 minutes we've done in months.
Russ Abbott, if he was alive, would have loved that.
Bella Renberg would have had kittens.
Bobby Davro, that is right up his street.
Seen that Paul Gascoigne video, speaking of Bobby Davro.
Oh, don't.
Breaks me, fella.
Don't.
Breaks me. I love Gazza.
Anyway, as you were saying on our first take, before I forgot to press record, this quite possibly could be the very last ever episode of Flats and Shanks.
Yeah, it might be. As we do it at the end of every season, we kind of question whether we're going to do it again next season.
We tease you. We tease you. That's what we do.
Is it a tease or are we going to do it? We probably will.
We're strippers. We're teasing you guys, girls, whoever.
We probably will.
I'm thinking we need a YouTube channel where we can discuss all the hot topics, but also it will be available in audio, so you can listen to it like a podcast, but if you choose to, you could view us.
So we can discuss the hot topics and be the hot topics.
What's not to like about two nearly 40-year-old men, a little bit out of condition.
A little bit.
Bit of eczema around the elbows and inside of the armpit, with receding hairlines.
A couple of increasingly relaxed scroti. I'm not at the stage yet where I have an extra loo trip in the night. I'm not there yet. I'm hanging on.
Yeah.
I woke up with blood all over my...
What? Oh,
what?
Stop it.
I woke up with blood all over my... blow up rhinoceros this morning. No, I woke up with blood all over my pillow and duvet and sheet this morning. And okay. I was like, what on God's green earth has happened here? I looked all around my body, all
around
my head.
What are you doing in here?
Who are you? How dare you? This is my home. It's where I live. So I looked around. I asked my kids, can you see any blood anywhere? No. And then I sneezed. I snoze. And I thought, oh, that doesn't feel right. And I'd had a blimmin' nosebleed in the night. It's the stress.
Were you like Alan Partridge with all the chocolate mousse around him? Mr. Partridge, you got a bit...
Have I?
Thanks, Michael.
It was a bit like that.
Oh,
was...
no.
But I'm all right.
A claret.
I've been to the blimmin' gym. Been to the gym, will fix it. No, I'm not. That's inappropriate. Been to the gym and had a shower, so I'm all right.
Okay.
I'm okay.
Did you use any machines or was it just purely for a shower?
No, it's free water, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, and it's unlimited hot water in
there. And free music, if you like the music.
I do hate the music in the gym. I do hate it.
I mean, we were talking off air. Not that this is live on air, but I've hurt my back, haven't I? Doing squats.
Oh, doing what?
80 kg.
100 and what?
80 kg. That's how bad the back is and the legs are.
I was just
trying to show off, mate. Trying to show off to a couple of old guys who were retired.
You follow Max Lahiff on Instagram, and now you're trying to be him. Well, you're not.
Mm.
All right, you never will be. But you are a 70 cap legend, so live with it. Live with that. But do you know what happened to me in the gym this morning, Tommy? I had a spot partner situation. I train on my own. I train alone. I work alone, Dylan. I work alone. Not expendable. All that stuff. So I was on the bench press, not doing a lot of weight, just sets of eight on 130. Not too serious.
No, like rehab.
Yeah, just warming the shoulders up. And I hadn't warmed up properly yet, and I was just getting, and this bloke comes over and says something, and I took my headphones off. I'm like, oh, Christ, here we go. I said, hello, mate. How many sets you got? I said, probably 3 or 4 left, so I'll be a while. Cool. Do you mind if I jump in? I said, why do you ask how many sets I got left if you're going to jump in anyway? And he was like, and I was not. I was being sort of funny. He's like, do you mind if I jump in? I said, not at all, mate. He said, I'm doing narrow, so narrow grip, so I'm going to have to shift the weight about a bit. I said, you got a choice here, mate. You can either wait 10 minutes or you can shift a lot of tin. You can shift a load of tin off, a load of tin back on every time. In the end, I ended up doing half of it because he only did one half and got on the bench. So I said, I'll do the other half, shall I? He said, oh, cheers, mate. You're only like 21.
You've got to be fairly confident, though. With all due respect, mate, you're quite a big lump of a bloke and you're probably quite intimidating.
I'm smiley, though.
In the gym. Yeah, no, you're smiley, but still, you know, from a distance, you look aggressive. So you've got to be fairly comfortable in yourself and fairly confident to come over and ask if you can share...
Ignorant.
...the Judy Dench with you.
Got to be ignorant. And I was like, so what are you... And he's like, I'm just doing just to do 60. And he's like, can you spot me? And I was doing a superset with a couple of other exercises. So I was like, mate, I'll do my stuff, then I'll spot you, okay? Yeah, okay. And I'm sitting there doing my little superset, and he's literally standing 30 centimetres away. And I put my earphones on and he took his out. I said, are you trying to hear what I've got on my earphones? He's like, what? I said, nothing, mate. Like, this guy had no clue. He's like, mate, just chill out. Just wait 10 minutes. The gym's almost empty.
I mean, that's one of my bugbears is training with people that are considerably weaker than you, because it's just an effort taking all the weight on and off all the time.
And if someone's way stronger than me, I just won't bench with them or squat with them or dead with them, because then you're shifting weight all the time. It's an extra workout.
You know, if you want to find that, you've got to go to World's Strongest Man, haven't you? That's what I found.
Yeah.
Train with the mountain.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't hate this guy. I just was disappointed by him.
I mean, do we have a name for him?
No, I don't know his name.
All right.
He seemed nice. He was nice. Didn't get any of my gags. They were really funny. They're probably a bit pointed and aggressive, but I didn't mean to be.
It just interrupted you listening to your podcast on serial killers, probably.
Yeah, although you've sent me a new one. I'm listening to an audio book, actually, on Sebastian Juncker, but recommended by Baz Barrett from WIU. And I'm listening to the audio book because I'm on the road a lot, Tribe. And it is genuinely fascinating.
Okay.
It's amazing.
That's my next one. I'm in the car all day tomorrow and Thursday. We're going down to Twickenham, aren't we? We're doing a Guinness fun day touch, but you're not playing touch.
What am I? I'm announcer.
You're commentating slash announcer.
Barnsley's ref.
Nolly and I are captains.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be on mine too, that's for sure.
Of course you do.
Playmaker.
Of course you do. She's still hungover from the bar bars, mate.
The magician. So I'll give that a go.
Mm.
I've just been watching something on Netflix, When They See Us.
Yeah, I was going to watch it last night, but it was an hour and 4 minutes, the first episode.
True
I didn't have
story.
That in the locker, boy.
True story. It's about a rape / murder. I don't know if she dies yet or not. She's alive at the moment in Central Park in 1989, I think it is.
And someone gets framed / they assume he's done it or something. Is that right?
They, yeah. Looks really good. 4 episodes, so not gonna kill you.
So it won't break the time bank.
Could smash that in a day, no problem.
Oh, God, yeah.
Probably will tonight.
Of course you will.
And watch Netflix.
Here's my commitment to you. When my children, I forgot our children until you mentioned it, when they go to bed tonight, little shit, I will watch the first episode of that.
Let me know how you get on.
Oh, okay, fella. Yeah. I will. Also, The Shrink Next Door apparently is a really good podcast. I've just downloaded the first couple. The Shrink Next Door, apparently really interesting.
Yeah.
And I've been listening to a Kiwi podcast called Gone Fishing. And it's really, really good. I really like it.
Black Hands, that's a New Zealand podcast.
Oh, yeah,
I've
done that
well.
One.
Okay, good.
Ben Blair, put me in touch. They're all dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. And I got some bad news this morning via email, Tommy.
Blood pressure up again?
No, I had my blood pressure done yesterday.
Okay.
And my blood pressure is optimal. I said to the doctor, how's that? I'm 6 foot. And she measured me.
Mm.
Oh, God, it's bad. I don't want to say it. She wrote down on the paper, 6 foot 1. I don't care.
You are growing.
I'm growing.
You are growing.
6 foot 1. She said 6 foot 1, and I was 20 stone 8, and she said your blood pressure is optimal. Your resting heart rate's reasonably high, but I see here it always has been.
Yes.
Your blood pressure's great. You're in good nick. So cheers, mate.
If you listen to this, give Flats a little internal clap. But do you reckon, honestly now, do you reckon you've grown a little bit taller? Because that's like 2 inches you've grown.
No, it's not. I was never 5'11" since I was 12.
Okay, all right. But because you're not scrummaging now, so it's not compacting your spine.
Well,
or do you think you're just walking taller because you're a big dog on BT Sport and Land Rover?
I'm not a big dog on BT Sport. I've done about 5 games for them this year. So I will... Okay, do you want me to tell you something interesting about this?
Yeah.
People shrinking at old age.
And their ears grow.
Their ears grow. People shrink in old age. And one of the main reasons they shrink is because the bone density, their bones are weak and their bones get weaker and they effectively, I don't know what the word is, cave in, sag, shrink, get compacted.
Mm.
One of the very best ways we now know to not shrink in old age and to be more resilient and robust when you stack it, because when you're old, you don't stack it, you have a fall. When you have a fall, be more robust, better movement, stronger when you hit the deck, things hit you, and not shrink, is resistance work, which is weight training. Weights is one of the very best ways to not shrink when you're old. In fact, it might even be the best.
And it makes you look good in a t-shirt and a pair of jeans.
There's a bloke who goes to Fatness First in Bath. He must be late 50s, if he's a day, and he's 6'4", 6'3", 6'4".
Good height.
Good looking. Big unit, yep. But not yep. freakishly big, but very big.
Yep.
In immaculate condition, strong yep. as frig.
Uh-huh.
So I started speaking to him this morning.
Listening to me
then. Spoken again this morning. And I said, so what's the thing? Like, what's the thing? And he said, oh, it's really easy. I mean, all you got to do, I don't do any cardio, never have. I eat reasonably well, and I lift 5 days a week. Don't lift too heavy. But he is strong, he's lean, he's big, and I've got decent genetics, but I never miss a day. I do 5 days every week. I never do more than 40 minutes, and I love it. So when I go on holidays, I drink on the piss, I eat what I want,
yep.
but I make sure my hotel's got a gym or there's a gym nearby, and I just go and do 40 minutes because I love it.
Yeah.
Hungover, whatever, and you're like, that is what I need to do, minus 18% body fat.
Do you say to him, who looks after your young kids then, mate, when you do this?
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, exactly. I do have to mention this because played golf this morning, and boys reckon I never mention golf when I lose.
right. Good news, own fair weather, is it?
Yeah, me and Bubs lost to Nicholson and Sadler today.
Not Phil Nicholson.
No, but Nicholson was on fire.
Oh no! You're right.
Weird, Andrew. Well done, mate.
You're right. Best.
Giving everyone tips then, because he's playing so well.
Oh, no, I hate
Someone's
that.
Someone's had a good game. What have you been up to?
Well, I've come over on my bike.
Yeah.
And I must say, Tommy, weirdly, so I went into the spirit of rugby at the final the other day, the suite at Twickenham, to do a thing with Durders for the Prem final with Prem Rugby. And as I was in there, one of the lovely ladies from Land Rover came over and said, hey, Flats, we've got a table. Come and say hi. The only person here so far is my boyfriend, Stefan, who happens to work for Triumph. So I went to see Triumph and I said, oh, what do you do? He goes, I was on the design team for the Speedmaster. I said, no joke, I've just got a Speedmaster. So I've ridden it over and Stefan, if you're listening, I told him to listen. It was a properly lovely little ride. I've got this thing. This is not an ad, okay? I have got this thing and it is a comms pack for your helmet. So bit fiddly to fit it, but even I managed it, and I am terrible at that stuff. I'm backward.
Agreed.
Terrible. And I managed to do it. It took me an hour, to be fair, but I never made a mistake. I just did it real slow off YouTube. So I spoke to you on the way over, doing the national speed limit on the M4 on my Speedmaster, and it's clear as Doris Day, isn't it? It's amazing.
Very good. I could never have told you on your bike.
It's incredible. And I was literally like, hey Siri, call Llama, because I call Shanks Llama. I was like, hey Siri, call Llama. Done. Hey Siri, call Dad. Done. Cool chin. Brilliant.
Why is it called the Speedmaster? Because, I mean, it's not a...
Not a race bike.
No.
I don't know. It's probably, I don't know, some marketing thing or tradition or retro or something.
I like it though, mate. It looks good.
And it's two-seater. If you want to come on the back.
Nope.
You wouldn't get your Kardashian, your Karkashian ass on there.
I don't like stuff like that, mate. If I want to go on that, I want to do it myself. I want to be in control.
Do it then. You're a control freak.
Yeah, all right.
You need some lessons in passivity. Why don't you get your license?
I'm all right. I'm not having a crisis yet.
Yeah, but you haven't got to get a bike.
Nah, I'll probably do an Ironman if I do have a crisis anyway.
Oh, God, no way.
Yeah.
No way, lad. No way.
Get a tattoo.
Yeah.
I've always fancied one. Sleeve.
You're going to get the Ironman tattoo. You can't do an Ironman without getting an Ironman on your calf or your tricep.
Yeah, I'll do that. Probably get Olympic rings as well.
You could just do that,
just
couldn't
you? Just to piss people off.
You could just do that.
Of course I could. I would as well.
Speaking of Olympians, AJ.
Yes.
Sparkville, Tennessee.
Yep.
Sparkville.
I didn't watch it live. It was on too late, but I watched it in the morning. And when I say watched it, I mean the highlights.
Is it pay-per-view?
Yes.
Did you pay?
No.
You found it illegally online?
I watched it on Sky Sports. They showed it.
All right.
Some of the highlights, I think.
I think you're lying. But
I don't know where I watched it. I watched it anyway.
You're lying.
And very surprised. Now, something wasn't right with him from the start. I think even when he walks out, it's not the AJ we're used to seeing. I didn't think. Then, he's like asking loads of questions in his corner about what punch he was hit with. And
why am I feeling like this, apparently, yeah. said Frank Bruno.
Another sentence he said. Like, that's not right, is it? You're saying that if you're dazed or you're not sure what's going on, but certainly didn't look like the fighter he was. He looked an incredible Nick. There's no doubt about that. He always does. And what's his name? Andy Ruiz. looks like my mate Matthew Bennett, Budgie.
Mate, Bennett's, Budgie's not in Nick like that. Budgie's hanging. He's more hanging than Ruiz.
Yeah, probably. But still, you line them up next to each other, there's only one winner on paper.
Yeah.
Or photos.
Yeah.
But I mean, really surprised I was. Great for the sport, but really surprised.
Yeah, it is great for the sport because it's a load of profile, but I think you're right. But unfortunately, it means that why would Deontay Wilder fight him now? You know, why would he? And it's all about Fury and Wilder for the next year. Joshua will come back and he'll smack Ruiz and he'll be fine and all that.
You know that's going to happen, don't you?
Honestly, I was like, as soon as he said it, people were posting loads of stuff on Twitter and Instagram, Twitter and stuff. And I was like, reading all these articles and it's like, here's what I said 2 years ago. And it's like, boxing expert, this guy is not the real deal. Joshua is not the real deal. He's this. As soon as someone properly hits him, Klitschko hit him and he did a great job, but Klitschko never hit him again after he hit him the first time. And it's like, you catch this guy twice, he's dead. Whereas there are guys like Fury who can find ways to just stop being hit and very, very clever, awkward movers and all that sort of stuff. And I don't know, they seem to, it's easy to say, well, they were all right. But I'd love it if he came back and smashed everyone to bits.
My only bugbear about boxing is you just wait and wait and wait. Everyone just wants to see Joshua Fury. That's the big fight, isn't it? Everyone's pumped to see that. But you hope it happens soon. You hope it doesn't happen too late down the road where they're past their best, especially Fury. Joshua's still got a few years left in him. But you want to see these big fights now. And people would pay, I'm sure. They're just hanging out for a better deal. But there's got to be a point where you've got enough money, you just want to fight the best.
Hasn't Dillian White been the number one contender for Deontay Wilder's title for like a year and a half or something? The sport is the whole system is a complete shat.
It's corrupt. It's corrupt.
It's a complete scam. Like, but we all love it.
Of course
fights,
we do.
But it's a complete scam. It's like getting Andy Murray and Rafa Nadal get to the Wimbledon final, but don't actually have to play each other in case one of them loses. So they play each other in 3 years when one of them hasn't played for a year and he's been out the game and needs a few quid. It's a complete embarrassment. But
the
game is what it is. Now I want to see Joshua come back. I can't wait because he's my hero. I also want to see Fury, Wilder, Fury, Joshua, whatever, Fury anybody, because people keep saying, all these experts keep saying Fury's the real deal. I'm keen to see you if he is, fella.
So what have you been doing then?
Well, I'm sitting in your car.
You've had a busy week again.
Watching my crash helmet get rained on. Can I grab it?
Yeah. Grab it now.
All right. My third abdominal down on the left has got cramp. B3. B3's got cramp.
Doing sit-ups of you?
Well, I saw Elliot Stook doing some in the gym the other day. I was like, oh, I'll copy those. And I tried them today and it was like, that's harder than he made it look.
I try and do 50 diamonds to end.
What are diamonds?
Well, you just, full of press-ups, your soles of your feet touch together. Sat. Sort of in a diamond formation with your legs on the floor.
So press-ups or sit-ups?
Sit-ups.
Yeah.
Touch the floor behind you, come up, touch your feet on the floor.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a CrossFit thing.
Oh, I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Wouldn't know.
How do you know if someone goes to CrossFit?
I don't know.
They've told you already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you just did.
Yeah. I don't go anymore.
Hey, what have you been up to, boy?
Well, I asked you.
I know, but I want to know from you.
Okay, well, we had a few days in Devon with you, which was really nice.
Really nice.
Yeah. We tried to enjoy the beaches and the weather, but it wasn't quite warm enough to fully commit to Devon, really, was it?
No.
I couldn't. I couldn't totally relax because it was still a bit cold. The water was freezing. And
windy too, wasn't it?
It's not as much fun as it going on the beach fully clothed.
No.
But
kids loved it.
Kids did love it. I got back from there. I spoke at Newport High School Old Boys at Rodney Parade on Friday night.
Wow.
Wow, that's a mouthful, I know.
Wow. How, why, what?
Their end of season dinner. Their Reese Thomas, the prop, pest, stinky.
Stinky boy.
He's now coaching the forwards. He was there. He's got a little battery on the side of him in a little bag. Keeps his heart going. So, for those that don't know who Reese Thomas is, he is the guy. He's a former prop, had 7 caps for Wales, played for Scarlets mostly and the Dragons. He tipped Kerry Sweeney over the counter in the KFC.
Best thing he ever did.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's a brilliant video.
Never mind surviving major illness and coming back stronger.
Nope.
The best thing he ever did was Kerry Sweeney over the, whatever it was, the Burger King counter. It was wonderful.
It was brilliant. One of the best. And Sweeney takes such a long time to get up, and the guy behind the counter is going, what are you doing? What are you doing? And he just doesn't have a clue. So, spoke there, which was all right. Decent.
Emotional.
And then on Saturday, I saw you. We were both with Gallagher. You had a lot of things on, but I hosted a room/bar. The Rose Suite, or the Rose Room in Twickenham,
mate,
for Gallagher.
It's so loose in there.
It is loose in there because it's a free bar pre-game, so everyone's there. The queue is like four deep of blokes. One end, they've got a rotisserie. The other end, they've got stone-baked pizza.
Oh, yeah.
But people just want to get on it. So I was on the stage trying to get order, which is very difficult.
Trying to corral these freaks.
People are there just to drink and have fun. There's no tables, so it's just every man and woman for themselves. And sometimes I struggle to get order. Couldn't hear myself that well, so just end up calling them names. You horrible lot. You listening, you horrible lot.
Yeah.
But we have three extra players
pricks
to do a Q&A with.
But what you want, ideally, is... I mean, those boys have played a bit, and they're good young boys, but what you really want is... the top boys who aren't playing.
Tom Hendrickson it was. I've thought of it then.
Yeah, good player.
Yeah.
That's a tough gig though. Cause
Marcus Street,
yeah. But you go, he's a very good player actually, but you go into these rooms and it's one of those things that people who organise these events hardly ever know about this stuff, weirdly. All they care about is table sales, names, accreditation, all that sort of stuff. You walk in, you test the mic and you're like, oh no, the mic is terrible. The speakers are quiet. It's crap. It's cutting out. This is awful. So whoever put this suite together, and I haven't been in the Rose Suite to work in there. Sometimes you walk into these suites and it's like...
It's a bar, mate.
Yeah, whoever put this together did not think about anyone ever speaking on a microphone in this room. And it's painful.
But it was good. The guys at Gallagher were fantastic. It was actually really enjoyable. There's loads of Welsh there, which surprised me a fair bit. Obviously there for the freebie, weren't they?
Yeah, of course they were.
But it was good. And those three boys, they had left the rest of the team in the cabbage patch. So, you know, that was quite tough for them. The whole squad had travelled down in the morning. So they were all in the cabbage patch in Twickenham, lashing it. These boys had to come and do a Q&A, which was really good. Real nice guys as well. They had quite a few free beers there as well. Obviously just trying to get up the same level as the rest of the squad.
Yeah, well, they might be at work, but they don't want to be playing tomato catch-up when they get back, do they? So they've got to rip in, haven't they?
Not at all. You get it while you can. But it was good. I mean, it was a great game as well, which we'll dissect in a bit. But I tell you, there was a band who played there,
yeah,
and they were called the Travelling Hands. And they've got a website. I looked at their card.
That sounds inappropriate, a bit Donald Trumpish.
Wandering Hands, that would sound inappropriate. Yeah. But the Travelling Hands, www.thetravellinghands.com. They were a five-piece band, played all instruments, sung, but really good, really hip, really contemporary, played some great songs.
You say hip?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You know what? You know,
no wonder you hurt your back squatting. You're 83.
But you know when you see a good band, you think, right, they are good.
I'm going to
book them. Let's give them a plug. So they were good. So get on their website if you want to have a look. I'm sure they'll have loads of examples of tracks they sing, but...
Yeah.
Enjoyed it.
And okay, good on you, fella.
Drove home and listened to the Champions League in the car.
Well, ultimately not a brilliant game of football, that. I love Liverpool winning. I don't care who won, really, but I love Liverpool winning. I love... You see the clip of Wenger and Mourinho in the studio when the whole crowd, all the Liverpool contingent was singing You'll Never Walk Alone. And Jose Mourinho said, that's better than anything we could say. This is just beautiful. And it was just like, it's proper goosebumps when they sing that. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
So where were you? What were you doing?
Well, Tommy, Devon with you. Everyone's heard about that. Friday night, I hosted the Premiership Rugby Hall of Fame event, which was pitch side at Twickenham Stadium.
Induct
by the
yourself?
Tunnel.
Do you induct yourself? Or
again,
not?
Fifth year in a row, I haven't been inducted. Getting awkward now. Inducted Jason Leonard, Matt Dawson and Nick Evans, all of whom are on really good form. And all the Gallagher guys are there. So, you know, Alison and Vix and Chris Mead and those guys. And also Pat Gallagher, the man himself.
We had the CEO, Simon Matson, speak as well.
Oh, Matters.
Yeah.
Matters.
So probably had to get the crowd quiet for that. He's the reason we're here, providing all the free drinks.
Yeah, cheers for
Lashla. Shut up, you ugly lot.
Cheers for Lashla, kid. So, That was nice. And then Saturday back there for the Prem final, and it was a reasonably busy day doing things, something with a, you know, something with Dirt, as I said, for Premiership Rugby, also hosting Gallagher's other suite from you, and then also filming with DAZN, so Channel 5.
Yes.
Filming all of that, and it was reasonably hectic, but so come sort of 6:30 p.m. I was spent, as they say in the adult movie industry. But then I was back there on Sunday for the Quilter Cup, which was the England Bar Bars, which ended up being really good because got there nice and early, watched the women's game, cheered on Nolly and booed every time she made a mistake, booed everyone who tackled her. That was nice, and it was just a really nice, relaxed Atmos in the Quilter suite, because they kind of do it right and it's just chilled. There's you're not on stage every 5 minutes interrupting everyone's chat. Everyone can have a drink and everyone can have fun. Then we had Tom Dunn and Ben Curry up. Hang on, which Curry was it? Yeah, Tom Dunn and Ben Curry up after the game, and very good value.
Really?
Yeah, oh, very good. Especially like the Curries are just lovely. I say boys, they're men. Lovely, lovely men. And Tom Dunn is a proper boy. He's a proper character.
It was a good game as well, which really helped, because at one stage you thought England were going to run away with it.
Yeah, and that ruins it.
I know. Barbars came back strong.
If the Barbars run away with it, it doesn't ruin it, because it's a good story, because England are losing, just thinking of it as a neutral. But England run away with it, it's just dull, and it makes you question the purpose of the Barbars. But it was a really good game.
Do you see the Joe Marler interview after?
Yeah, brilliant.
It was quite good.
He's been brilliant. Yeah, he's
the kids are all over there, and I think it was Haskell said, for a man that hates the media, he's certainly doing a good job at it.
Yeah, and he's one of those things like, it's, you know, I remember, you know, I took the piss out of Johnny Wilkinson once at the last World Cup, and he never says he hates the media, but he says, oh, I'm shy and all this sort of stuff. I said, Johnny, I was on the paper, so I'm just reading over here how shy you are, mate, in the Telegraph. I'm just reading how shy you are, mate, in your column when you're about to go on national TV. You're about to do this. And I was like, it's a, you know, obviously it's a, because we're mates, it's the obvious. So I said, Danny Grucock doesn't like the exposure. When do you hear from him? He won a World Cup too. When do you hear from him? I said, I'm not having it, Johnny. If you're shy and you don't want to do it, you haven't got to do it, mate. You know, but of course he has. It's his job. But
don't say it then.
Don't say it then. But I think he probably is shy, but he gets through it and probably enjoys it a bit now.
Yeah, Marla's not shy, mind.
No.
He loves it.
He loves it up him, doesn't he? So that was a busy old weekend. And the rugby's kind of done. And I'm hosting a dinner for Lewis Moody. Well, we're taking Michelle on the Blimmin' Lash tomorrow, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
We're going to tram shed in Hoxton. And then we're going to
Shoreditch. What mood will
Lewis
be in?
I don't know, actually. That's a good point. So after that Guinness thing we're doing on Thursday, I'm out on the pitch at Twickenham. I'm going inside, having a shower, putting my tux on, and hosting Lewis Moody Foundation dinner.
There?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
nice.
Which
is really handy, yeah. It's a lovely event. I did it last year.
Make sure
you
give me some good plugs now on when I'm playing, all right?
All right, yeah.
You know, I'm not afraid to make mistakes. You know, you've got to make mistakes. Don't be afraid to make them. You've got to try these 50 things in touch.
I think because Nolly is coming towards the end, and she knows it, and everyone knows it, everyone's being overly nice about her.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think I saw her throw a forward pass at the weekend. It was despicable error.
Yeah, well, she got held up the first time she carried the ball.
Do you know
back.
What, Shaq? It's reckless. It's not concentrating. It's not preparing. And frankly, it's not good enough. And she needs to be accountable until the very end, because it's her job. And I was disgusted by the way she carried that first ball in. I thought it was ridiculous. And I will tell her to her face.
Good,
okay,
you do that.
Then it's just holiday time, fella. Holiday time.
Relax, isn't it? I'm off to Parma soon with the former Players Association, Cardiff Blues.
Tough gig, boy.
Yeah, well, still need a team. Just need one more team.
What, the plug is Paul? Is Paul the watch? Is Paul the watch doing it?
No, he's not.
He's so tight, mate. He's so tight, isn't he?
Oh, he's always late as well, isn't he?
He's always late. Mm. He's tight. He won't. He just. Ugh, I don't know.
Do it, Paul.
I used to respect him. Did you?
Never.
Funny, isn't it?
Never. You've got to earn it.
Funny, isn't it?
So the final game.
Oh, Tommy.
Final Premiership game of
Tommy.
The 2018-19 season. And two teams rightly deserve to be in that final. Both teams have dominated the final for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're an Exeter fan or player, You don't like the playoffs, do you? 8 points clear.
Yeah, you don't like the system, do you?
You don't like, but commercially and for the fans, it's amazing, isn't it?
I mean, we're probably not going to tell anyone anything they don't already know or think here. But I never bothered about who's the better team, who's the better team. What does that matter? It's got nothing to do with it. Exeter were fantastic for loads of that game. 60-70 minutes. They were brilliant. They were dominant in the collision. They were relentless. Jack Noel was the best player on the field by a mile. Like, Mara told you got man of the match.
Well,
and
you
I
say
love
by a mile. Jamie George was brilliant.
Watching live, there was no one that had the impact on that game that anywhere near that Jack Noel did. I thought he was just brilliant. Mm. And I agree, Jamie George is great. But then Mara told you got man of the match. I'm not having that.
Spent 10 minutes in the bin. He's a banker option because...
What'd you call him? Ripers.
He's an easy option. You get players like that, which if you're not quite sure, you just hand it to Itoje. Doesn't make many mistakes. Yeah, he got yellow carded, but he's still really powerful.
Gave away a few pens, though.
Really well. But you're right, though, with Noel. Although, do you reckon Exeter missed a trick, really, because Cordero was fit and he could have played. And he would play 15, and that means Jack Noel could move to the wing. Yeah. Now, Tom O'Flaherty had a great try in the semis against Northampton, but for Jack Noel to have like free reign, and he needs to do it from the wing, because you can't do that at 15, because you'd be out of position. And other players can cover you on the wing, but not everyone can cover you at 15. You know, you get back row, don't you, hanging out on the wing sometimes if a winger's going missing. You can't have a back row, really.
So 15 can't 15. Be that roaming role?
Not massively. Okay. They can a little bit, but you have to be fairly structured, while a wing can just pop up where he wants, because anyone can keep the width.
Okay.
So I think we saw Jack Noel with the ball in his hands loads of times, which you want to see. But looking back now, it's easy in hindsight because they lost the game. But did they miss a trick in not playing him on the wing? But he was their best player. And you just knew when he went off, Exeter really don't stand a chance of winning that game.
Yeah, and there was just a point where I thought they've done it. Exeter have done it. They've done the impossible. And Saracens were absolutely way off their best. Way off.
It was the Slade try, yeah, wasn't it? Straight after half-time. Some great work, I think. Was it by Simmons?
The one down the right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a lovely break by him. And
it was... They had it done. And
no, Skinner. It was Skinner, wasn't it? Skinner puts it back inside to Slade.
Donnarumma went off, didn't he?
Yeah. 11 points clear. And you think, this is it.
Done.
This is their game.
It's done.
But what happens next is just perfection. Just great management. You've got Liam Williams on the wing. You've got Farrell now coming into the game, sort of growing a little bit in confidence because he's quite quiet, I thought, in the first half. And that crossfield kick. Is there a better player in the world at taking them at the moment?
Israel Folau?
Who's not? I haven't finished yet.
Who's not?
Homophobic.
Oh, no. No. But hell maybe awaits Liam Williams for catching that. I don't know, because he's overtaken Israel Folau as the best aerial player in the world. But it... Do you know what? I watched it, and just talk about detail. Why is Joe Simmons, the little 10, who was had a good game, he's a lovely player... Why is he one-on-one with Liam Williams out wide? It's detail, it's communication. Are they hiding him?
Or... Yes, I think they're hiding him.
But you cannot let him have that much space to mark Liam Williams
but
on his own.
Your detail is exactly the right word, because it's a detail of noticing who's in front of you. That communication then into Farrell for the kick. The kick is just brilliant. It's perfection. And you see how far off the ground Liam Williams gets. And Joe Simmons has no chance, because his back's turned already. You know when his back's turned, that's it. Game over. He's not going to be able to get in the air. When you're against someone aerially so good, it was just easy for Liam Williams to go over. And then they strike again, hit you again, Saracens. I loved, there was an interview from Alex Sanderson when they were 11 points down. And he was just saying, look, we're no way out of this game whatsoever. This is where, you know, we've got to start digging in. This is where we're going to come through. And you can see the passion. You can see that he just knew Saracens had an extra
amazing
gear. And
just
they came
amazing
through. And then the ball shipped wide and Maitland smashes over. All of a sudden then, sort of 3-point game.
Yeah, and apparently Mark McCall after the match, I didn't hear it because I was there working, but I said, how do they do? He said, when whoever it was, Slade, whoever scores that try down the right, teams are crushed by that. It's crushing. But somehow our boys weren't crushed by that. They just weren't. They weren't crushed. And I don't know how they weren't. They're incredible. And that's quite something for a DOR to say. I don't know how they're so strong, but they are.
But I thought when White went off for Exeter as well, they didn't quite have the same zip, really. I think that was a huge turning point.
He's so
for
good.
Exeter. He is so good.
Well, Don Arman went off. Jack Noel went off.
Yeah.
White went off. And they're the guys, you know.
I thought DeVoto's first half was outstanding.
Yeah.
He carried the ball so well. He's such a good player for Exeter.
Won't get a look in with England, though, will he?
No, he won't. He won't. Barrett goes off early for Saracens as well, but then they've got the Tompkins, 3-try hero from the week before. They're just such a steady, complete outfit, Saracens.
I still don't quite know how they won that.
Lazowski defensively as well, brilliant.
There's an article, Brian Moore's written an article, I think it was yesterday in the Telegraph, and I haven't read it yet, but I'm going to read it. But it's about these top of the range players produce this magic, this genius for their clubs.
Yeah.
Why do they so rarely do it for England? Why do they so rarely do it for their country? And I haven't read it yet, but I think it might be interesting. So let's all read it and see if it's interesting.
I will read it. But, I mean, Exeter score right at the end, which doesn't really reflect the game because the game's already won by then, isn't it, by Saracens. I was very surprised Farrell missed that kick in front of the post. You think the pressure's got to him, but that's just a lack of concentration. I don't think it's the pressure. He's been around the block enough. The Lions, England, he's played enough big games. And
it's concentration, yeah.
Kicked enough big goals.
Yeah.
But that result, you got the two best teams there in the Premiership, two worthy teams. It was, I think, the best final we've seen possibly ever.
Yep.
The skill level, the pace, the tempo, the physicality, everything was there. It was a great advert. I know that's such a cliche, but it was such a great advert for rugby because everyone I spoke to after enjoyed the game. The Exeter fans, they just sort of said, well, we gave everything. There's nothing more we can give. When you're up against a better team like Saracens, nothing you can do. And I think Exeter can hold their heads high and just, you're going to have to say, look, we're just beaten by the better team. That is it.
I've seen every single final, Tommy, and that's the best one by a stretch. It was just epic, an overused word, so I won't use it. It was really, really good.
Yeah, it was really, really good. And ref really well by Barnsley as well. Thought he had a cracking game.
I spoke to JP Doyle after the game, or I saw him on Sunday actually, and I said, you watched the game yesterday. I said, did Barnsley? I'm seeing Barnsley this week. So Barnsley and Nolly are coming a few beers tomorrow with Michelle, aren't they? And I said,
did he make any errors?
Any major errors? And he's like, no, he didn't really. Oh, Christ.
No.
I wanted something to have a go. So I lie to him when I see him and tell him that JP tore him apart.
I couldn't think of any, though. At the game, I thought he reffed it really well. He didn't go to the TMO that often. Gave quite a few tries.
He's the kiddie, isn't he?
Without having to go to the TMO, so that the game flows a lot quicker then. There's not as many breaks. Everyone enjoys it more. But mate, it was a fantastic day. The weather was perfect for this.
Yeah.
For two teams who were running rugby. And Exeter were playing quite wide as well.
Yeah.
They went for it. Which is good because I think if you do want to beat Saracens in, not just in a league game, but in a final like this when it's a different kettle of fish, it's a different amount of pressure.
Yeah.
You have to do something different. And they did get outside them a few times. And you think, I honestly thought this is it. This is going to be Exeter. Because we've seen how good Exeter are at closing games off. But is this... This Saracens team, I think, for the next two or three years, are just going to dominate.
The kiddies. They are the kiddies.
Europe
they?
And the Gallagher Premiership.
Well,
you can't see it, can you? It's a young team.
What an end to the season, eh, fella?
What an end, yeah.
Hey, happy summer to you, boy.
Any plans, mate?
Yeah, mate.
What?
I'm going to...
Devon.
I'm going to Spain. I'm taking my mum to Chile for 10 days for her 70th. Might pop to Portugal for a bit.
I'm going to Portugal.
When are you going?
August.
Sorry, mate.
19th.
Sorry, mate.
No, okay.
But also a bit of work in August because of the warm-up games with the World Cup.
Yeah, there are.
There's a bit of work going on. There's not really any clear... There isn't a week without work in it. There isn't one single 7-day period, I don't think, without working it, except for my holiday with my mum.
I'm coming back from Portugal for the England-Wales game in Twickenham. So, yeah, but...
You'd be tanned up, wouldn't you?
Make sure... Oh, mate. Jabber tan. Make sure you keep following us on Facebook
and
on Twitter because we'll release some of the dates of some of the live shows that we're doing. with our fabulous partners, Guinness.
It's pouring with rain. How am I going to get home on my motorbike?
And also, don't forget about the Field and Flower promo that went on.
Yeah. I've got a, as it happens, I dropped my kids at school this morning, dropped the kids off, then took the kids to school, to the children's school. And my nine-year-old, Peanuthead, said to me, "Daddy, can we have smoked lamb pitters tonight, please?" I mean,
yeah,
that is aggressively middle class, apart from anything else. But the
and
lamb
the rest, mate.
But the little lamb, the rolled lamb shoulder went in this morning, fella.
Did it?
Well, no, it went in at midday.
In das oven or the egg?
Well, actually, Tommy, long story short, I won't bore you with it. I would always do it outside, but logistics this morning meant that I couldn't. I have to do it in the oven, and I don't like doing it in the oven. I'll front up and tell you that.
No, but sometimes the oven, it's the only option.
Yeah, so it's in das oven. And
well done, mate.
We're going to be okay, fella. All right?
Yeah.
All right, well done.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Feel free to subscribe to us and give us a 5-star review.
Oh, yeah.
We need it. Honestly, guys, we need the reviews.
What for?
Sometimes I like reading through them just for confidence.
Oh, right.
Just before I'm about to take the field, before I tee off for golf.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah, give us loads of reviews just for our self-esteem.
I just find it really difficult now to end this. I don't know how to end it.
It's hammering with rain, and I've got a ride home on a motorbike. What do I do about that? Do I just walk into... Do you fancy a little toasty in Costa with me, fella?
Yeah. Should we celebrate the end of the season with a cheese and ham toasty?
But can you drive us closer to the door?
Of course I will, mate.
All right. Ta-ra then, lads.
Bye.
Ta-ra, lasses.